This is James Riley from Ballistic Etna, and you are listening to the best in everything paranormal on Soul Seekers Supernatural Radio.
Broadcasting live from London every Friday from 9 to 11 p.m., 4 to 6 Eastern, the Soul Seekers bring you the latest topics and most influential guests in the paranormal world right here on Para-X Radio. Check out our website at soulseekers.org.uk.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Soul Seekers Supernatural Radio. I'm Gil, your host for tonight. Tonight we've got a great guest. Her name is Susan Schultz. She's the author of two books. One is Things to Do on the Other Side, The Answers to What Happens When We Die, which we'll be speaking about tonight. And I'll let Susan explain her other book, and she's writing one as we speak. As ghost hunters, we all wonder what happens, as everybody wonders what happens when we die and what happens on the other side. And tonight we'll get some insight into that. The book is definitely worth reading. It's very interesting, very enlightening, and I encourage everybody to read it. We'll be giving the website where you can purchase the book, and Susan, like I said, will enlighten us on some of the subjects. There's so much to the book, we can't fit it all in 2 hours, but we'll discuss some of the highlights and the topics. But let's get underway. Susan, hello.
Oh, hi, Gil. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. Glad you could make it with us tonight. We appreciate it.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
It's really good to have you, and it's really exciting about this book and the things that are in it, and hopefully, like I said, it'll give some people some insight to what actually happens when we do die.
Well, that's actually one of the reasons, you know, for the book to even come out, is so everybody does relax. You know, what our guides wanted to do is, well, first of all, let me tell you where we get it. We get the information. My husband is a tactile medium, and he's clairvoyant, and he receives messages from his guides and other guides that are on the other side. And, you know, they just want to share all this information with us. So anyway, they go through Barry, and we are getting so much information. We've been getting information for about the last 6 years now. And this particular book was written by Gillian and Jamie from the other side, and basically, came through Barry. And so what I did was I put it together so that, it comes out for everybody. It's so we can relax and we can follow our chart. I mean, we come here, we make our chart, and we come here to do it. So the thing is like if all we want to do is like think about what's going to happen when we die, that's kind of, pointless. So they want us just to relax and do your chart, do your learning lessons that you came for. And also, when it's time to go home, you have a better homecoming and the people there to meet you, you can reacclimate a little bit better and you don't give them a really hard time. Cuz that does happen.
All right. Can you elaborate a little bit about our chart? What does that mean? What exactly is that?
Okay, well, actually, I want to start just by saying that, we are actually energy beings, and we live on the other side. That's our natural environment. It's our home. And so what we do is we actually learn on the other side, and we do advance our souls there. But what we do is we'll come to Earth, and other planets to, experience something that we can't experience there, like negativity. There's a ton of negativity here on Earth. So we can actually advance our soul very quick by coming here to Earth. And the Council of Elders, they actually encourage this. So what they'll do is they'll come to us and they'll, say, how about, do you want to reincarnate? And then what we decide is we'll say, okay, we're going to go to Earth. So then what we have to do is we have to go to the Hall of Records, and we actually write our chart. It's like writing a book. And what we do is we just write what it is that we are going to experience for God, and how we're going to advance our soul. And, we pick where we want to come here on Earth and who's going to be our family members and everything. And we all get together and we all plan this together and everything down to the very last, the tiniest little description of what it is that we want to learn. And that becomes our blueprint for life. It's kind of like our path, our life chart. And we can go off of our chart a little bit one way or the other, but it's just kind of a guideline, because we were all given free will. So, of course, what we write on the other side seems so easy, and we get here, and sometimes it's a little harder. And, we may decide to maybe make another choice, but that's okay. And if for any reason, say that doesn't work out real well, you've got your chart, and, with the deja vu that you plan in your chart, it will kind of center you and put you back on chart. And also with your chart, you actually have three early exits. And most people don't use them. Most people, you really need to complete your chart, and then you go home, back to the other side, right. Kind of like a graduation thing. And but the early exits are there. Let's just say you wrote a chart and, you really wrote a tough chart. But on the other side, it seems so easy. Well, you get over here, you get to the other, you come here to Earth, and the chart is not easy at all. And sometimes, the soul, our soul that's inside of our bodies, just can't take it. And there could be a problem. And sometimes it does cause some mental illness or any kind of problems like that. It's an out. God gives us an out. He wants us to do our chart, but if it's too tough, what he'll do is he'll give us an early out. And there are some people that actually have, I don't know how it actually totally works. All I know is that I think I had one. I had an accident back about 4 years ago, and it was such a little nothing accident. I was going real slow, and it was icy, and my car actually slid sideways, and I crashed into this fence, and the fence just shattered everywhere, and of course it almost came through the windshield. Now, it was my guide who saved me, but the thing is I think that might have been an early out, but, I guess it's your frame of mind at that time if you take that early out. Okay. Do you know what I mean?
Now, you say that, I sure do. Now, you say that we choose our family, mm-hmm. But how does that work? Like our relatives that were, you know, like great grandparents that were alive before us and before we were born. How did we choose them if they were already here? Or does this go way back?
Oh, this does. You know, what it is like there are groups of people in the communities, and I'll explain communities a little bit later, but there are groups of people, they're like-minded people, they have the same interests. And what they'll do is they'll decide that they want to have a reincarnation together. So obviously, the one who's going to be the grandchild is waiting quite a while. Okay, you do your chart ahead of schedule because you want to have everybody's in line, whether it's your grandparents, parents, you know, and any kind of siblings. And what you do is, like you say, you do this all together. So obviously the grandparents will go in first, you know, and then when it is your time to be born, when your time to reincarnate, then, you know, that's when yours will happen.
Huh. You know. Now what about, you know, like, what about infants that, you know, die within a month or right at birth? Why is that?
Well, I'll tell you know what, there's different things for that. If there's a baby who dies, like, right at birth, there could be a couple things. Mm-hmm. There are different people that do actually monitor the mother.
This entity is not going to have a really good life because of the way, you know, the way the parents are. The baby could be born with so many physical problems. So it's not actually what the person charted for, but, you know, the people that went in earlier just made very bad choices. So what they'll do is they'll just pull the entity right out of the baby, and the baby will die.
Really?
Mm-hmm. You know, and there's another one. This one's a little far-fetched. There are actually alien, you know, there's many, many worlds, millions of planets all in this whole entire multiverse. And people from other planets can also say, I would like to reincarnate on Earth. So they'll come to our other side, and they will go through the same process that we do, and they'll come here to Earth to experience it. Now, some get scared right at the last second, and they'll pull out. You know, so, yeah, and the ones that do make it here, they're kind of like, they're kind of funky people, you know, they're the kind that we look funny at, you know, because it's a new world for them, and I'll tell you what, the ones that really are more alien are the ones that are really attracted to water and animal life, say dolphins, that type of person that is so into it, because this isn't what they have on their world. You know, we have more water on this world than any other planet, right. You know, and that's why people are attracted. It's a beautiful, beautiful planet, and we attract a lot of attention from other worlds. We really do.
I was reading your book that actually quite a high percentage of people that are here aren't actually from this world.
No, they're not. There's only 38%. 38% is from here, or even from our other side, and all the rest are definitely from other worlds. You know, and
that's really interesting.
And the craziest thing is, some of these people that are from the other worlds, they don't even know they are when they're reincarnated, because, you know, you lose your memories when you come here. You know, so you can learn your lessons better. So they don't even know that they're actually from an alien world.
So the other side is just one other side, but it's for all beings or all souls throughout the multiverse.
No, actually, every planet has another side. Every single planet has another side. Yes, absolutely. And but this is our other side that I, you know, that we're talking about. And when they, you know, say if somebody wants to reincarnate from another planet, what they will do is they'll go to their elders on their other side, and then all of this is worked out. And you know, there's many different facets to get them there, but as far as it goes, it does happen. And you know, we actually can go to their planet and reincarnate on their planets too.
Yeah, I was reading that. How many people do you think do that? You know, we have the percentages from souls that are from other planets here, Do a lot of us go to other planets?
Well, actually, there's not that much that is allowed, because this planet has so... There's so much negativity because we're kind of a melting pot, and we've got people from all over the multiverse. So it does make for an interesting life, you know. But on their planets, they only allow so many, you know. In fact, most people have to get in line. You have to get in line if you want to go to certain planets because they just don't allow it. They have a more of a positive. There's some negativity in some of these planets too, but the thing is, it's not anything near like this, and that's why Earth is so tough, because this God allows everybody to come here, but it's not the same for the other planets. I don't know why. I'm just telling you.
I was going to ask you why. But
I have no idea. I really don't. You know, I guess they just don't want all that negativity there. The more different types of people that you allow on a planet, the more negative the planet will be. And this is the toughest planet that you're gonna find. And that's why people come here, because they advance their soul so quickly. You know, much more quickly than you can just by being on the other side, which is so peaceful.
Mm-hmm. Now, do we all go to the other side when we pass over?
Yes, we do. We actually do. Mm-hmm. Not everybody. Now, you have to understand, when we go to the other side, we're not right away just allowed to go into society. What we have to do is we will meet with our friends and family from this particular reincarnation, the ones that have passed over before us. We will meet with them, and that's just kind of so you can get your head straight, you know. You're meeting them, and they're going to tell you, okay, you're alive, you know, and this is your new existence here. In fact, you're actually home, and they're going to help you to reacclimate to the world. So, you know, that's kind of cool. And go ahead.
You have to do that every time. You have to do that every time you pass over and go to the other side.
Yes, yes, and also, once all the festivities are done and you're done kissing and hugging and handshaking and you know, and people will even before that also people will actually attend your funeral. You know, well, you know what? All you have to do on the other side, all you have to do is think of the people. And you're there. It's that easy. You know, your mind is...
And
as far as there's another thing that has to do with being involved here at Earth, what did you do to help mankind prosper? You know, I mean, did you do nothing? I mean, what did you do? Because the thing is we are here to learn lessons for God and to grow our soul, but we're also here to help each other. You know, and what did you do to help mankind? And then, of course, the last one would be, you know, just basically a spiritual involvement, just knowing, they're just going to ask you, how did God influence any of your earthly decision for, like, say, maybe who came here as an atheist or something like that, you know? But we learn for God. Everything we do here, all of our experiences, everything you think, everything you say, is all recorded in the Hall of Records. The whole entire time you were here, everything.
Really?
Yeah, so you might want to, you know, kind of watch what you think.
Watch what you think.
You know.
You have to be careful from now on.
I know. And you know what? This is interesting, and this is not in the book, but everything you think, tangents. Now, I know this is in many, many movies. Let's just say... I'm writing books, but let's just say I decided that I wanted to be an artist. In fact, I did. I wanted to go to art school when I was, you know, to college, and I never did do it. Well, you know, I have a life that involves myself with art. Okay, everything that you say you're going to do, but you don't do it, it's still there is actually. You actually created another reality, and you are actually in another reality doing that.
Really?
It's kind of weird. It's kind of strange, but
it's really weird.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we've got, we all have, like, tons of trends all over the place. And, like, if, you know, if someone will actually go to a psychic, you know, or they're asked their spirit guide, you know, a question about their lives. Actually, the spirit guides, they look at those trends, what is actually dealing together. And then, because, I mean, they can't read your mind unless you let them. And they can't tell the future. But they can evaluate the trends. And as these trends get closer and closer together, that's when it is more obvious to them that something is going to actually happen in your life.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very cool. Mm-hmm. Now, back to the, you know, where you got the information. Actually, it was your husband,
mm-hmm.
his guides that gave him the information, and you wrote the book. Is that correct?
Yeah, I put the book together is basically what it all is. I am writing a book, like, kind of on my own, you know. you know, but, like, the first two books that I have, let's just say this book here. This one here, they did not want me to lose the integrity of it. Myself wouldn't know about things on the other side without them. Basically, it's just as they put it. You know, and what I did was I just put it in book form, you know.
Uh-huh.
Now, my other one, Answers from Heaven, that was just, that's when Barry first started getting all sorts of messages. And we didn't even know who they were coming from, you know. And eventually everything got, you know, then we met everybody. They said, okay, I'm Gillian, I'm Jamie. And of course, Paul came through more. And Paul is Barry's individual guide. And, you know, they just had all of this information. So what I did is I just thought it was so neat, and I just compiled it in one book. And that's what Answers from Heaven is. And that one is, boy, that's everything. That's how to find your true self, how to talk to your spirit guide, how to find them. And then, of course, some issues of today, like global warming, what their views on global warming are. It's not what's happening. It's not what people think today. And, you know, I have stuff on Atlantis and crop circles and fairies that started in Ireland and everything. It's so interesting, and I just thought it was the coolest thing, so I put it in a book.
Well, cool. Tell everybody where they can get your books.
Well, actually, I have two websites. I have www.answersfromheaven.com, and that would be for just a download. It's on ClickBank. And then, of course, Things to Do on the Other Side is www.thingstodoontheotherside.com, and halfway down is for the download of the book, and all the way down will take you right over to Lulu Publishing, where you could get a paperback book.
Oh, cool. I read the book. It's superb. It's very well written, easy to read, and just incredibly interesting.
It is. I'll tell you what, when Barry was channeling this information, I was going crazy reading it. I couldn't wait till he was done. I'm like, oh my God, let me see it. You know? And I was just loving it. And he only got like a half a chapter at a time. So it took about 5 months till we got the whole book. So
Really?
So it was kind of cool for you. You got to read it all in one shot. It took me 5 months to get to read it all.
No kidding. Now, did he get the information you said about half a chapter at a time, but would just out of the blue start to get something and have to scurry and scribble things down? Or,
oh, no.
Or did he know?
No. What they do is, see, with Barry, they talk to him all the time. So what they'll do is they'll be chatting with him, like, basically through his mind. And then he'll come to me and say, you know, Gillian wants to come through tonight for this chapter. So, you know, I'm going to... In fact, he says, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to trans. And that we kind of made that mm-hmm. word up, trans, instead of channel. In fact, Gillian thought that was so good. He says, you know what? He says, the first person that ever said, I'm going to trans, he says, so now I'm telling all these other people that I'm, you know, giving books to that we're going to trans. You know, he kind of thought it was cute, you know.
Excuse me.
But it's so interesting. It really is. And they gave him plenty of time. And so Barry will get in a room all by himself. And instead of doing automatic writing like, you know, most people call it, he'd rather type. So it just comes through and he types, you know. He's kind of half there, half not there, if you want to. And by the time he's done, he is kind of transed a little bit. You know, I mean, it's really he's so tired, you know, it takes a lot out of him.
I can imagine. I bet. Now, has he been a medium all his life?
He's actually been psychic all his life, but as far as his mediumship, that was just about 6 years ago.
So was obviously that was part of his chart, was to become a medium?
It was. It was. In fact, it was his guide, Paul, who delivered all the information for his mediumship.
Mm-hmm. I see. Is that so? That's the case, obviously, with all mediums. That's part of their chart that they wrote when they were on the other side before they came back.
Yes, yes. And I'll tell you what, it's you know, and then you would have the, you know, your guides. You would have aggressive guides all your life. You know, where most people have a passive guide. And a passive guide is one who, it's kind of like that little whisper in your ear that tells you to go one way instead of another way. That would be your guides. However, you know, with an aggressive guide or an active guide, that's they get a little bit more information, you know, instead of that little nudge, you know, because a passive guide, they're not allowed to do too much. Aggressive guides are given a little bit more carte blanche because of the chart.
I see. Mm-hmm. Now, we all have spirit guides, then.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And do we all have the same number of guides?
Most people have three. You know, most people have three. You're going to have your dominant one. You're going to have the one that is with you, the one that you is your total best friend that you said, okay, would you be my guide? Then you're going to have a backup guide just in case that one, you know, your guide is busy. Because believe me, they have lives on the other side. And, you know, so they get busy too. And then, of course, there is an alternative one if both of those are busy. But I've never really had the case where, you know, I found that, you know, the third one kicked in on for me, you know.
Now, are guides just primarily a guide for one person here, or are they guides for more than one, you know, multiple people?
They can be a guide for a few people, but you'd have to be kind of advanced, because they would say if you're a guide for the first time, you should only be a guide for one person. You know, because you're not sure of what's going to happen. But there are people that have been guides for thousands of years. So, I mean, they can take on three, four people at a time, and they can be a guide. Most likely, I would say, it would be in a passive way rather than aggressive, you know, because I don't think that would be too easy to do, to have so many that where you had to really be in their life every single second, you know.
I got you. Mm-hmm. So good time management skills would be a must.
Oh my God! Yeah. Unless you don't want the council of elders breathing on you.
So do we all reincarnate?
No. No. You know, I mean, some people reincarnate more than others, as you know. I mean, your Sarah had 134, for heaven's sakes, you know. And
I know.
Yeah, and actually you have more than me. I mean, you're at 47, I'm only at 37, you know.
I know, you're telling me that. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I have some, I wouldn't say memories, but I have certain things that I'm drawn to or interests that, you know, I can't explain why. Like, for one's the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I lived one of my lives during the Civil War. I know Sarah's attracted as you know, to Egyptian things. Mm-hmm. And you were saying that that's possibly a hint of one of our past lives, is when you have an interest for no particular reason in something.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because, I mean, there's going to be a little bit of bleed over. You know, I mean, they do, when you come here to Earth, you are going to lose your memories of the other side, because the other side is so mm-hmm. easy. And then, you know, most people would just probably just commit suicide and just say, forget it, you know. So, but you will have memories of your past lives, and it's little bits and pieces, though. You know, you're not going to remember the whole thing. It's I love Celtic music, and of course, you know, I found out from my guides that I lived in Ireland in the 1500s. So, you know, that was my little tip that, you know,
right.
and it's my love for that music, and that just came with me in this life also. You know,
okay.
The Civil War. You were most likely in the Civil War. I was in the Civil War. I mean, yeah. I mean, well, I was a wife of a civil. Yeah, yeah. In fact, my name was Sarah, and my husband's name was Charles, and we lived in Louisiana, and that was in the 1860 something like that. You know, and.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I love history, so, you know, that doesn't shock me. That doesn't shock
right.
me whatsoever. But, and Sarah definitely, Sarah did live in Egypt, by the way. our guides told us. She did. She lived in Egypt. So did I. I had a life in Egypt during about three outskirts, I guess.
I thought all pharaohs were important.
Well, I guess maybe. In fact, we had a transing session, and they said that actually the pharaoh that I was married to, they're going to be digging him up within time. They're going to find him. So,
okay.
but I don't have his name, so I'm going to have to get that so I know when they dig up my ex-husband or something. You know.
Now you were telling me before the show that also your daughter now. Was your daughter, was it in your Egyptian life?
Yes, she was, yeah. Yeah, she
that's sort of spooky, isn't it?
Well, what's really spooky is she poisoned me, you know. That's that was more spooky than anything, you know. No, what, I'll tell you what, there are groups of people, seriously, there are, you know, and whether it's in the community or you're just a bunch of friends, most people have lived for thousands and thousands of years. And what we all do is we come on these reincarnations together, you know, and we've been doing it for thousands of years. You know, and most people can't imagine living that long, you know, but when you get back to the other side and all, you know, once you're back to the other side, I don't know what the time limit is. I guess it has to do with you yourself, how fast you want to get your memories back. But, I mean, you're going to be so surprised how long you lived, because you will realize that, you know, you've got memories from way, maybe even before Christ, you know.
Now, you were saying on the other side, there's time is different over there. It's not the same as time here on Earth.
No, there is really no time on the other side. They call it their space-time continuum. And mm-hmm. so, you know, you're never late for anything there, you know, ever, which is really great for me because I don't wear a watch. And but there's just no time, you know. I mean, in fact, I think when the people pass over, I mean, it could be 50 years until somebody comes back. Like, say, with my dad, or let's just say my grandfather, back in the 70s, he died in the 70s. Well, you know, when I get to go over there, what's going to happen, it won't seem like it's been that long to him, because, you know, time just doesn't really play a factor there whatsoever.
Right.
It doesn't. No.
So what, when we do get to the other side, you started explaining, you know, what happens when we first get there.
Mm-hmm.
With, celebration and the festivities. Then what? What's next for us?
Well, we did the life review, right? We talked about that. Mm-hmm. And then after that, what they'll do is they'll say, okay, now what we want you to do is just to go out, check the other side, see what's available, and just relax. You've been gone for a long time, and, you know, we're a little fuzzy at that point. Our existence is fuzzy, and they don't want us to do anything tough. Just relax. So some people actually sleep, you know, and
that's me.
And you can sleep and you can eat there too, just like, you know, like just like here, you know. But nobody ever gets heavy because it's a different kind of a body. We don't have physical bodies, so you know, we're more energy on the other side. But we do actually have bodies that look like this, you know, like we.
Mm-hmm,
absolutely. You can look like whatever you want. Most people actually look like their younger version of this particular life, when you looked your best.
Uh-huh.
You know? And but I guess maybe depending on, you know, who you know, maybe somebody else sees you differently. I don't know if they were in another life or not. I don't have anything on that. But you know, I mean, you pick what you want to look like, you know, but you're always fit. Oh, and here's another thing. Let's just say there are people that maybe lost an arm or a leg, you know, or, you know, anything bad. When they get to the other side, everything's perfect.
Is it?
Everything. Everything is absolutely perfect. And there's no pain. There's no disease. There's no anything. It's just a perfect society. You know, I mean,
and it's not a physical society either, is it? It's
no.
It's all spiritual, your soul.
No, it's not a physical realm whatsoever. The planets are more of the physical realms, and but on the other side, it's not. It's not at all. In fact, your bodies don't really weigh that much because you don't have the physical mass that we do, so you can actually fly. Mm-hmm. You can fly there.
Well, that'd be cool.
I know. They said you fly better than birds around here, you know. And there's just you can do so many things, you know. Well, let me just go through some other things here. As we're relaxing and stuff, what we want to do is we want to check out the communities. Because there's like millions and millions of communities. And anything that you could think of that would be an interest, there's a community for. And so what we want to do is we want to decide what community do we want to join. We can join two communities only. And one would be our dominant community, and that would be the one that we have an active voice in. And then, of course, then we have another one that, you know, we participate, but we don't have a voice. And so we're only allowed to be in two. And so what you do is you would go to, they actually have a relocation center there. They said it's kind of like a real estate agent. And you go there, yeah, and they're going to ask you questions like, what do you like to do? You know, and you figure it out. And, you know, there's so many to check out. But they will help you. They're experts in this. And they will help you to find something that is your perfect interest. And then, of course, when you join the community with those people that have the same interests, you know, it's just a perfect fit. And what you're going to in turn do is every community gives to society. And there is no money system there, so everything is free. There's, you know, you don't pay for anything. You don't have to. Everybody works and plays all, you know, with everything that they love to do. So, like, you might have a house builder who, you know, there's a housing, house building community, and, you know, there would be horticulture. And, let me just think here. There would be all different types, and just for the housing part, you know, what they would do is you would say, I want to build a house. Well, you just give them an idea of what you want. Well, they come out and they build it, and they'll build it for free. You know?
It's way cool.
It is very cool. I'll tell you what, my dad has a really great house. It's like a mansion, for heaven's sakes, you know? But my dad built it himself. He didn't. Okay. Yeah, he didn't have them do that. He said he always wanted to build a house when he was on Earth, so he decided that was it. Mm-hmm. So when he got to the other side, he built his house. It took a long time. It did. It took quite a while, and but he did it by himself. And it's Barry has seen it. I have not seen it, but my dad has. He gets in touch with my husband all the time, and they send what we call snowballs, which is it's just a picture, you know, and it just goes into your head. And Barry has seen it, and he says gorgeous.
Really? Mm-hmm. But it's not, like you said, it's not a physical realm. So, you know, when they build a house, they go through the process of actually building things without, you know, lumber and timber and bricks and mortar and things like that?
No, they actually don't. They build it with them. You know, but I guess it's a different... I don't have the explanation on that one. I do know that, you know, they have... If you need lumber, you get it from them. If you need, you know, curtains or anything to adorn in the inside, there's a community to get that from, too. They said that, actually, the other side is more real than this side. You know, when you think of a spiritual realm, you know, I mean, you know, it's, I don't know, it's actually real stuff, you know what I mean? Everything is real.
Right.
It's, in fact, they say we are more real, our bodies are more real, and so is everything on the other side is so much more real than here, because we're kind of in a dream world here. And what we see, you know, is produced from our eyes, you know, from our bodies.
Right.
And what we see also goes through our organic brain. Well, there on the other side, everything is pure. So it is a much more real society than this one.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I'd have to go for a log cabin, I think.
That would be cool. They even ask you, do you want to live in the mountains? Do you want to live at the bay? That would be me. I'm going to the bay.
Well.
But you might want to live in the mountains.
Going to the sea. Yeah. Log cabin in the mountains, I think.
There you go. I know where to find you now. Yeah. Okay. Well, what else? Let's see. All right. Let's just say, okay, we checked out the communities, and we've gone to, and there's some great halls. They have the Hall of Healing. Well, the Hall of Healing, let's just say first here, the Hall of Records. The Hall of Records is the largest, most beautiful, you know, place in the whole entire other side. And everybody can visit the Hall of Records. And I'm talking about even us here while we're on Earth, the people there on the other side, and even the people from the other planets in the multiverse. Everybody can congregate and come into this Hall of Records, because everything that we think and everything that we do, all of our charts, all this information is for God, and it's all stored in the Hall of Records. And we can all come in and we can all check it out. It is really cool.
Now, how do we check it out from this side?
It's usually in your dreams. Well, it would have to be.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it would be in your dreams. And, you know, what you can do is, everybody, like I say, everybody has a spirit guide. Ask your spirit guide to take you to the Hall of Records when you go to sleep at night.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure there's some people, we always get people asking, how do you get in touch with your spirit guide? You know, a lot of people don't know they have one. If they do know they have one, they don't know who they are. And, you know, we get people asking, how do you get in touch with them and communicate with them? Maybe you can enlighten some of those people on that.
Well, actually, all you have to do is talk to them. It's that easy. They
simple as that.
Oh, yeah, because they hear you all the time. I mean, they can hear a spirit guide who is passive. You know, even one who is aggressive, they can actually hear you when you talk. You know, they see what you write. I mean, believe me, they know everything you're doing. You know, and most people would cringe sometimes when they think about that, you know. I mean, believe me, they're everywhere, and I'm not kidding, you know. Gosh, I tell you, I go to hop in the tub, and my ears are ringing. I'm like, oh, hi, Ange, you know. So, she follows me everywhere. But believe
Big Brother is watching.
Always, always. Well, you know what? They're responsible. They're responsible to help keep you on your chart. You know, so of course, they're going to have to, you know, pretty much eavesdrop in on you, if you want to put it that way, you know. And so All you have to do is, you know, if you, and now you know that your spirit guide's name is Al. So all you would have to do is say, hey, Al, how you doing? And just start talking to him, you know.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, and as far as getting your messages, it's going to be through inspiration. It's going to be things that come into your head that aren't your thoughts. That is them, okay? So they said when they talk to you, just think of what you're thinking about. If it's something that you normally would not be thinking about, it's them. And that's how they're answering you. You know, if you're privy to a psychic like I am, well, you know, then you really can get the answers, you know.
So what are your feelings being married to a psychic?
Oh, I love it. It is so cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
People ask me that all the time about Sarah Jane. What's it like being married to a psychic?
Oh, it is so
neat. You can't get anything, by him, can you?
I don't know. I don't usually try anything. I'm a good wife. What can I say? You know. You know, I don't have anything to be scared about.
There you go. Now back to the communities. Mm-hmm. I know in your book you mentioned the literary communities.
Mm-hmm.
And if you tell the listeners some things about that and, you know, books that we read on this side,
mm-hmm.
you know, what the ties are.
Okay, well, the literary community is very important on the other side, because everybody on the other side, what they want to do is they want to have a voice, and especially they want to get their voice out to here on Earth and all the other planets. So what they'll do is the literary community writes books. You know, they write all sorts of things. And then what they do is they have to get it okayed by the elders. Everything has to go through the elders. And they get it okayed by the elders. And once that's okayed, then they can hand it to somebody like Gillian or Jamie or Paul, anybody, even Angie, she does this too. And what they can do is they can get through to the mind of someone else through inspiration to write this book. You know?
That's really cool.
It is. It's very neat.
Because you wonder where some authors, you know, get their inspiration to write some of these stories. And then, you know, that's a logical answer.
Yeah. Well, you know what? My son is also psychic, and he has an ability with, well, first of all, his spirit guide's name is Jade. He calls him Jade anyway. It's Eric, actually. But what Jade does is he is the head of the literary council. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So he writes many books, whole bunches of books, and he is actually, Kirk is now channeling through him, and the books are phenomenal. He's just starting out, and my son's only 20, but he's just starting out, and he has I think about 4 chapters on the one and a couple on the other, and the stuff that he is writing, I know Kirk would never know about, and it's very otherworldly, you know what I mean? It is so neat, and he is I think he's going to do very well in a writing career. You know, so what happens is they all write this, and then what they do is they pass their information to anybody who will be open up to actually deliver the information. I mean, they're looking for people. If anybody wants to write a book, I mean, all you have to do is say, you know what, I would love to write a book. Tell your guide, I would love to write a book. I mean, and, you know, it, let them come through inspiration. I mean, right now, I'm not really listed as, you know, a medium. I'm kind of going toward my mediumship, but I'm actually listed as a muse, you know, and that ties in with the writing.
I see.
You know, and, but I do, I've already told them that I want more abilities, and they said I can achieve that. I just have a lot of work to do, that's all.
I see. You're currently working on another book now?
I am. Actually, the other book that I'm working on is called The Human Owner's Manual. And that is, it's pretty cool because, you know, just like we didn't have a manual on how to die, we don't really have a manual on how to live. You know, what happens when we come here and what's open to us. And some of this information will be in the Human Owner's Manual, especially with spirit guides, because I want everybody to know that we have spirit guides. They're there to help us. You have to quiet your mind and just listen to them. You know, they're trying like crazy. They're screaming at you, trying to get their ideas through to you to help you out. And yet there you are, and, you know, everybody's in the hustle-bustle world, and they don't take a moment to stop. You must take a moment, whether it's in the morning, in the evening. Find a time somewhere. You know, run to the bathroom and lock the door and don't let anybody in and just take 5 minutes for yourself, whatever. But take some time and just be, you know, quiet your mind. And you'd be surprised what comes through.
Especially in this day and age with everything going on everywhere in the world. But meditation, is that a good way to...
Absolutely.
To get through to your spirit? Yeah.
Yeah, not everybody knows how to meditate, though, you know? And, you know, it's not the easiest for me, either. It really isn't. I would much rather... I guess I have a form of meditation because I just sit quietly and, you know, I'll talk to Angie. I said, okay, go ahead. I'll listen, you know. And and then, you know, so I'll get some stuff. If I can't, then I'll run to Barry and I'll say, what is Ange trying to tell me? You know. So I have
Sorry, go ahead.
I said, I have a cheat code here, that's all.
So Barry can tap into your guides?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, well, Barry can see. Well, you have to understand, he can't hear Angie, but what he can do is he's clairvoyant, so he can see her. So what they do is they use symbols. They use symbols to talk to you. And, you know, and with me, I have my... my ear, in fact, my ear's going off like crazy right now, but, you know, if it's at a regular pace, you know, a ring, it means kind of no, and if it goes way high, then it's a yes, and that's just something that I have asked Angie to do for me, you know. Everybody can do their own thing, you know, and so what I'll do is I'll sit in the living room there, and he'll see her. And, you know, and I'll ask a question. Well, you know, my ear goes up big time and it says yes. And she's either doing thumbs up or she touches her nose and that means yes. If I ask her something that she has to check on, she puts her hands on her waist and that means wait. That means she has to run and find something, you know, find an answer. You know, then you see her, he sees her scoot, and then she'll come back. And, but he can actually, it's all with symbols with Barry and her, you know. And a lot of times I'll say, well, what's a symbol? And then the two of us together will figure it out.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Different concept. So, but his guides, he can actually hear his guides, you know, speak to him.
No, actually, he sees them, but he gets it. It's kind of like a screaming voice in his head. I don't know what else. It's in his head. He can hear them kind of in his head in a way. It's hard for him to explain it to me. But it's just something that fills up your head, and then you have to write it down. you know, kind of
thing. Oh, I got you.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you have, let's just say if you're thinking about something, you know, in any aspect, and, you know, you're rolling all this around your head, and all of a sudden you say, you know what, I got to write this down. I got to get it out of my head, you know. It's one of those. It's kind of one of those.
I got you. Mm-hmm. I gotcha. Well, we're going to take a quick break, probably about 7 minutes long or so, roughly. Give everybody a chance to stretch their legs and get a drink. But we're talking to Susan Schultz. She's the author of Things to Do on the Other Side and Answers from Heaven, and you're currently writing a new book. But when we come back, we're going to be talking some more about what happens when we pass over and get to the other side, and we'll start relating a few of those things to ghost hunting and ghost and the paranormal. But everybody don't go away and stay tuned, and we'll be back shortly.
Yes, Piggy?
What are you listening to?
Soul Seekers Radio, Piggy. That Sarah Jane's pretty nice.
Wait, Piggy, please don't hurry, Piggy. Hi-ya!
Check out our website at soulseekers.org.uk. the latest news in the paranormal world, listen to Soul Seekers Supernatural Radio live on Para-X every Friday night from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. London time. That's 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne. For many years, you know I've had a drink problem, and I'm trying to battle that problem every single day. But one thing I don't do, I don't drive my car when I'm drinking. I get someone to drive me. Do not drink and drive. It's the stupidest thing. If you drink, just don't drive. Not only are you going to hurt yourself, you may hurt some other person, and you wouldn't want that on your conscience, would you?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
When a child is abducted, every second counts. That's why this station uses the Internet Radio Amber Alert System, helping to keep your children safe. A free service of the Internet broadcasting community and this station.
Join the Soul Seekers live every Friday night from 9 to 11 p.m. London time, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern time, for paranormal discussions with special guests from around the world. Right here on Para-X Radio.
Hello, we're back. Welcome to Soul Seekers Supernatural Radio. I'm Gil, broadcasting from England. Tonight, our guest is Susan Schultz, author of Things to Do on the Other Side. She's got a lot of answers to questions everybody has, what happens when we pass over and die. And Susan, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome back.
Good to be here.
Did you make yourself a cup of coffee?
Iced tea.
That's right, I forgot. Iced tea. Now you're teasing me. I never had so much iced tea as when I lived in the South.
Oh, I love iced tea. It's my... I don't drink anything else.
Is it homemade?
This stuff isn't. No, no, this is Wawa.
Wawa?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've heard of that.
Yeah, well, that and Turkey Hill, they have, they're just these little tiny stores that they have, and they make wonderful, you know, pre-made tea with lemon. It's so great. I love it. But I do make my own also.
My mouth is watering now.
I'll have to send you some tea bags or something. Hey, you know what?
But they got plenty.
Go ahead.
What's that?
I wanted to say one more thing, you know, about the guides, okay? One thing that I didn't mention.
Okay.
When you talk to your guides, like I say, you're going to talk to them, like, out loud, all right, because they can't read your mind. Mm-hmm. However, there is an option if you want them to read your mind, to know your thoughts, I should say. Because, you know, there's a lot of things that we mill around in our mind and say we have, like, a problem and we can't figure it out. But the thing is if they can't read your mind, they can't help you with it either. So there is an option that you can do, and you can actually tell them that you would like them to know your thoughts at all times. Now, there is a warning with this. Once you turn it on, you can't turn it off. Okay? So once you say you can read my mind, I give you carte blanche to know all of my thoughts, that's going to be it. It's the line is open, and it's going to be open for your whole earthly existence, you know. But it's a really good thing because, you know, like I say, if you got a problem and you don't talk to them about it and they can't read your mind, right, they can't help you. So I have given Ange carte blanche to, you know my thoughts. And actually, I talk to her telepathically all the time now. You know, if I'm, like, you know, staying in a store or something, and I really want to talk to her about something, I'll just think it, and then, you know, I don't have to talk out loud. And some people are a little leery about talking out loud in front of other people, so that's a good way,
right,
too, where you can actually communicate with your guides, but you do have to open the channel, and you do have to tell them that, you know, I would like you to read my thoughts. You just have to know that once you open it, you know, that's it, though.
There's no turning back, then.
No, once you open it.
Be careful.
Yeah, once you open it,
be careful
what
you think.
Absolutely, and once you open up a channel, you know, it's open. That's it.
Huh.
You know.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool, though, because they can help you through a lot of, actually, your, you know, earthly problems, you know, if they actually knew what you were thinking.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. A question that I had, you know, sort of relating to the charts and when we come back and, you know, we live our life. What about people that commit murders and things like that? Is that something that they planned on doing in their charts?
There are some people that do. You have to understand, one thing I did not mention, there are role-playing games over on the other side. And you can actually, I mean, whether it's Star Wars, I mean, any of these kind of things, and you actually, you could be Han Solo, you could be Luke, you know, and you, I'm serious, you could, and it is so cool because they're, you know, you go into these games, and you can actually plan your own death, your own demise. Okay, I'm going to come out at this point, I'm going to get shot, and that'll be it, you know. But the thing is mm-hmm. you have to understand, when you plan your chart, these people are used to playing role-playing games. So that type of thing doesn't seem so threatening. You know what I mean? Because it's a game.
What about the victims?
Well, if somebody plans to murder in their chart, there's going to be somebody who plans to be the victim.
I see.
You know, now it doesn't always work that way, though. You know, there are people that mm-hmm. do commit murder here on Earth that are not supposed to. You know, I
right.
mean, it does happen. There are people like say somebody. I mean, you have to go through a whole bunch of things to come here, you know, just to plan your chart. Well, there are some people who just, you know, slide by. They slip through somehow, you know. They get past the anxious deliverer and everybody, and they pop into a body. Well, those people, they're the ones that totally raise havoc here. And they do commit murder and stuff like that because maybe they had a life in the West or something where pulling out a gun and shooting somebody was like what you did every day. You know, it was acceptable. Or if they're on a planet, another planet, where that is an acceptable kind of thing to do. And to them, that's nothing, you know. But, you know what I mean? So there are going to be some people that plant it in their chart, and of course there's going to be the ones that don't. Now, that's not really, you know, the other side, the elders, they don't like that, you know. And
I can imagine.
Yeah, but the thing is once somebody's in, you know, I guess it's not as easy to get them out. So what they'll do is they'll just try to control them as much as possible from here. And I don't think that they're the kind of people that they actually release into society, though. You know.
Now the people that come, you know, slip through, and let's say they do commit a murder. Obviously, their victim that they murdered, it wouldn't have been in their charts to die that way. Is that correct?
Yeah, it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be. But the thing is, I guess it, you know, all the things in their chart they would not have been able to get done, but that was something beyond their control. So then they would just be brought back over to the other side, and if they wanted to reincarnate again and do what they wanted to do, they can.
I see.
You know.
Now, somebody that's over on the other side, can they come back, you know, if they haven't reincarnated, can they come back here and visit?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, people do it all the time. You know, I was just saying, even at a funeral situation, all you have to do is think of the people and you come back. Well, as you are, you know, reacclimated into society and you start your life on the other side, you can do that all the time. You can do that all the time. All you got to do is think about them and you're there. And then you can visit them. Now, trying to communicate with them is going to take an awful lot of your energy. And we are just energy beings on the other side, and emotions are really what drive us. So, you know, obviously there's a lot of emotions when we're thinking about our family that's here, you know, and we're there. And so it's going to drive us, and we're going to want to go there. The only thing is it's going to take a lot of energy to punch through the physical realm. And most people can't stay long. You know, it's a tolerance that you have to build up. And then you can actually come here more often and stay longer. You can come here and you can visit. Let's just say you, you know, I always wanted to go to Egypt, and if for any reason I didn't make, you know, I didn't get the chance in this life, what I would do is I could come back from the other side and I can go visit Egypt.
I'm sorry.
You know, you can,
now, can you,
do anything.
Can you meet people from your previous incarnations?
Oh, and absolutely. Yeah, we should probably get to that part here. Let's just see. Well, what we did was we talked about, you know, people checking out all the communities and stuff. What happens
right.
is then you're going to have your second meeting with the Council of Elders, and that's where they're going to ask you, do you want to reincarnate again? And, like, mm-hmm. I'd say 99% of the people say absolutely no, you know. And I'm here, you know. And they say, okay, well, you know, what community have you picked? And so they're going to follow your progress because they want to make sure that you're reacclimating into their society really well. And once they feel that everything, that you're all in order and you're, you know, you're just, they want to make sure that your frame of mind is right with, for all the people. They don't want you raising havoc over there either. And once they realize that you're completely, you know, reacclimated, what they'll do is they'll put you, they'll say, okay, you're released to society. And then you can go anywhere, and you can go to all these halls. You could always visit the halls, but you could never participate in any community, or you couldn't participate in anything in the halls. And but once you're released into society, then the whole entire, you know, other side is just totally open to you, and that's when everything gets super fun, you know, because there are
There are so many things to do. Like just the halls alone, the hall of records. It's absolutely gorgeous. When you stand out front, there are just these spirals that go from the ground all the way up, and when you look up, you can't even see the top of them. This thing is just so enormous. And then you walk in, and it has this beautiful inlaid marble, you know, flooring. It just takes your breath away. And all the walls are made of a material called meshavite. And they call it a thinking rock. And what it is, it's part sentient, and it changes depending on what species is coming in. Now, the Hall of Records, there's many, many, many rooms there, but they all look the same. And and it's just millions of scrolls all over the place, you know. It goes all the way up the walls. And the way that you would access those scrolls is to go to the terminal. In the back of every room is a terminal. And all you do is there's a nice comfy chair, you sit down, and there's controls there. And you use your mind, actually. They just say, open up your mind, and you, you know, you just follow the instructions. At the Hall of Records, you could actually visit. You could visit your any of your past lives. In fact, they're funny. They even said that you could actually visit this particular life and you know, go to your wife's chart or your husband's chart and see what it was like to live with yourself. You know, that would be a scary thing, you know. But you could be anybody. You could be the President of the United States. You could make different decisions than he did, and you could see what the outcome is. It would never change history, but it's just a fun thing to do. You could visit. They have, like, the different communities. There's one that's the history community. And, you know, you can actually, everybody goes to the Hall of Records, and they all get to by these terminals. One person will sit in the chair, and everybody is kind of around them. And you can all be basically transported back to that particular time in history, and you could view that person's life. And then, of course, when you get done, and it's not like a reincarnation, it's just a visit, you know, because you are completely conscious of who you are, and you can turn it off just like you do a TV. And anybody, if someone says, I had enough, they could actually leave and the others could stay. But then when you get all done, everybody goes back to their history community and they all chat about your life, you know. You know, you can do anything that you want.
That's really cool. Now, you said that in the book you can come back and visit places you've never been before, places you've always wanted to see.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And you just have to build up a tolerance. You have to keep coming back a little bit at a time, and you have to build up a tolerance to the physical realm, because you're not physical at that point anymore. And many people have mastered it. They really have. I've told you before about Angie. I mean, she loves to go to Maui, you know. She loves to snorkel. Her and Paul go snorkeling, and sometimes they'll come here and they'll visit us after, you know, we'll call for them, and they'll say, you know, just in a little bit, and before you know it, you come, and they're all in their snorkeling outfits and everything, you know.
Really?
You know. Yeah, because Barry can see them, you know.
That's really cool.
Yeah, they've already come through my ceiling in a hot air balloon. Yes, that's really scary. I'm selling my house. It might have to hurt my house.
Now, we can also visit other places, is that correct, other than Earth?
Yes. That would be a whole travel.
The Hall of Travel is really a cool place because out front they have a garden. Every hall has these fantastic gardens, and they make them so beautiful to actually bring all the newbies in, so that you would, you know, maybe want to join a different type of community or something that has to do with all this. The Hall of Travel has all these rocket ships and spaceships and airplanes, anything that has actually taken anybody, not just man, but any species, really, to the sky. And the coolest thing is you can actually get in them and you can take off in them. You can go, you can take a ride in them. And but what's really great is the Hall of Travel also has a terminal, just like the Hall of Records. And all you got to do the same thing. You got to get to the controls, and you can decide where you want to go. You could take a jaunt through to the Milky Way, you know, and you can go either by spaceship or you know you can just use the terminal. And what you could do is you could see the solar system, the Milky Way. You can go to any of the planets. There is a community that is a spacefaring community, and what they do is they go as a group through the Hall of Travel, and they travel to other to all the different planets to find habitable planets, planets that are empty, not habitated, and then what they'll do is they'll come back and they'll decide if they could inhabit that planet. And they do this for God. It's all experience. Everything is experience for God. And then there is, and then what you would do is you would get all your people together, and there's a lot of technical people, and they all get together, and there's actually a book on bodies, there's actually a book that you can look for carbon-based bodies and, you know, bodies that are made of gold or platinum or anything like that. And it all depends on what that planet, you know, can, you know, what type of body. Because we're carbon-based. And so there's a lot of carbon here, and it's perfect for carbon-based. And then, of course, the water and everything else, it's perfect for a successful planet. And actually, Jesus is the one who did that. He is the one. Really? Yes, he is the one, and that's why, you know, some people will say he's our God, but he's actually our Savior. He is the one who actually gave us... He didn't give us life, okay? God gave us life, and because we're from the other side, all right? But the thing is, like he made the bodies that we go into, you know. When you start a planet, I mean, it could take, you know, you start. It's like a seed, you know. You plant all the seeds, and then you just let it just go for a long, long time. They said when you start a planet, it could be you could go away for about, you know, 3,000-5,000 years, you know, and come back and see how it's congealing, you know, because it's going to take a while. And I mean, like, the planet Earth is 70. We are 70 million years old. The planet Earth.
Right.
And as far as the rest of the universe, the oldest part of the universe is, you know, they're like 10 billion years old, you know. Mm. So we're like babies compared to them. And that's why we see the spaceships in the sky and all that, because, you know, they're checking us out. They want to see how we're doing.
Right.
You know, and
that makes sense.
And they have interstellar travel. We don't, you know.
True.
But,
well, very limited, yeah.
Well, yeah, but that's
space travel.
Yeah, that's another book too. Gillian's writing a book with Barry on how to obtain interstellar travel, and that probably won't be out until maybe about the end of this summer.
Oh, He'll be very popular when that comes out.
Oh, is it interesting? Oh, my God. We've got five.
I can imagine.
We've already got five chapters, but we're kind of on hold with them until we move. So, yeah, Paul kind of cut them off until we move. Once we get down and we move and we do all that, then we're going to start back in with the books, you know.
Uh-huh. Oh, I gotcha. Now, let's sort of touch base on ghost hunting
okay. And
how it relates. I mean, as ghost hunters, we know there's two types of ghostly experiences. There's a ghost or the stone tape theory, which is just a residual energy that's, you know, absorbed in the fabrics of buildings and whatever. But then there's spirits, which we can interact with.
Mm-hmm.
So these spirits, would they be souls from the other side that come back and visit us and interact with us?
Absolutely. A spirit is a person who has passed over. They were here, mm-hmm. they passed over, and they just come back and they just want to check us out. They want to say hi, you know, or, you know, just visit. And now, most people don't see them. You know, if you have somebody who's sensitive, they'll probably pick up on them. And then, of course, mm-hmm. then you have the ghosts, what we call ghosts, and they are people who were here for reincarnation. They actually died. Their body died, but their spirit did not move on. Now, those are the only
right.
two that we actually list here in the book. As far as the energy, mm-hmm. I do, you know, I mean, I realize that that is absolute, you know, and that could be energy that is, you know, just trapped in the ground or a house or whatever, you know, and that has nothing to do with an actual ghost.
Are there spirits that haven't gone back to the other side yet, it's according to your book?
Mm-hmm. That's the ones that we actually are looking for. You know, like there is a job on the other side, and it is called the Ghost Hunters. And their one mission is to get as many people who are trapped on Earth and talk them to come home. They want to talk them back over. And it is an interesting job because what they have to do is they have to go to the Hall of Records and they have to view the whole entire life chart of that person. And it's kind of trying to figure out why didn't they come back over? And so what they'll do is they'll just study as much as possible and then they'll go down to Earth, and what they'll do is they will actually talk to the spirit, to the ghost, and try to talk them over.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they're successful and sometimes they're not, you know, for whatever reason. And now what they do is they count on the ghost hunters of, you know, here on Earth to help them.
Right.
And you have a lot of psychics and ghost hunters, and what they'll do is they will, you know, they will find ghosts, you know, the way you guys do, and, you know, if you actually, you know, you can chat with them. You know, it takes a while to get their attention because they're kind of in their own little world. All they're doing is just going, the last days of their life, what they're doing is they're just, it's kind of like a cycle. It's all they do is the last days of their lives. And, you know, so it's hard to talk to them, but, you know, if you're adamant about it, you could, you know, chat with these people and tell them, you know, you've got a better life over there. All your family's waiting. You know, you really have to go to the light. And the light is on because every person that does not pass over will see the light. Mm-hmm. The light is left on for them to show them the way home. But
now, what are your... I've read the book, but for the listeners out there, what are your views on why they haven't passed over?
Oh, gosh. It could be just about anything. It could be like a family issue. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, maybe you got people who are fighting over a will or something. You know, could be somebody who was murdered. And the person who murdered them was not found. Maybe they're trying to get across to somebody so that they can point out who it was so that, you know, their murder wasn't in vain. I mean, it could just be, it could be just about anything. It could also be the fact that they're afraid that they're going to go to hell. Because with Amish people, like here, we live within the Amish community here. They're all over the place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have people that are so afraid to pass over because they left the church and they were told that, you know, when you leave the church and you die, you will go straight to hell because you are not, you're not going to, you know, get to pass over. And so they feel safe here instead of, you know, because they don't know what's on the other side of the light.
Right, they're scared to go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think there's some that don't realize that they've died?
That could be, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could have been such a sudden death that they're just kind of caught in a loop, but they don't realize it. You know, they have no idea that their body died, and you know, there's so many different reasons for it, and all the reasons are they're really tough, I think, to find out, because even the people on the other side, they say that they don't have as much success at crossing people over as people here on Earth, because we can actually see them, but the people on the other side can't see the ghosts. They can feel them. They can know they're there,
mm-hmm.
and they even know who they are. But they can't actually physically see them because we're actually closer, in close proximity to them. You know,
that's interesting.
Yeah, we have a lower vibration here than the other side, and actually, the other side is just right here also. You know, the other side is not up in the skies. All it is dimensions.
Right.
And it has to do with a higher or a lower vibration. Now, the other side has a very high vibration, and because of that,
mm-hmm.
we can't see them normally. You know, unless we're like in a tired state or something like that, or if you are psychic or clairvoyant, then you can see them. But, you know, they...
Now what?
Go ahead.
That's another theory with ghost hunters is that the ghosts that we do see, or spirits, are actually in another dimension, not in our dimension. You know, that even if we do see one, that they possibly can't see us, and there's sort of like a crossover between dimensions. Do you think that's possible?
I think that's absolutely true. You know, because we are all in a different dimension. You know, Earth is a different mm-hmm. dimension than where the actual ghost is. And like I say, and also where the other side is. And I mean, there's all different kinds of dimensions, and we're all within the same space, but it depends on the vibration as to, you know, if you can see them or not.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So all of us that do ghost hunting here, we all have a job secured for us on the other side.
I'll tell you what, they need a lot of people there too, because they say that not too many people would like to do this, because once they get back to the other side, they don't want to leave. So all of you ghost hunters, you definitely have job security. Absolutely.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. It's
good to get other, you know, new fresh views and theories, you know, on ghosts and apparitions, and, you know, why we can interact with them, why we can see them, and sometimes most of the time why we don't see them. That's why we're all out here doing this, is to try and get proof that, you know, they do exist, and proof that there is life after death. And, you know, your book answers a lot of questions about life after death and what happens. So you want to tell everybody where they can get your book again?
Sure. Things to do on the other side, what happens when we die, is www.thingstodooontheotherside.com. And all you got to do is just follow the instructions. Halfway down is for the download, and all the way down below where you see my picture is where you can shoot right over to Lulu and Lulu Publishing, and you can order the paperback.
Yes, excellent book. I encourage everybody out there to get a copy and to read it, because, like I said, it answers so many questions that everybody, I think, in the world, you know, is curious about, whatever religion or background you come from. It's definitely worthwhile.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Is there any other points you wanted to make about what happens to us? Or,
well, I'll tell you what one thing that we didn't get to yet, and that was, you know, after we're back into society, released in society, what happens is all the people from all of our past reincarnations will start to show up. They weren't allowed to come to us because we were in a fragile state at that point, just coming back. And once we're released into society, the elders feel that we're ready for that then. And then they encourage the people from our past reincarnations to come and just basically, you know, they have to reintroduce themselves, because if our memories haven't come back, they'll come and they'll say, hey, I was so-and-so from, and then they, you know, and they said that actually will jog your memory. And you will start to to meet all the people that you knew from all of your past reincarnations. And I think that's, or you can go to the Hall of Records and you can actually look them up. You could look up your past reincarnations. And then you can jog your memory that way, too.
You know? Now, if they've reincarnated, obviously they can't meet up with us on the other side, because they're back on the earthly plane.
No, you're not going to meet everybody, because everybody's kind of in and out on reincarnations, but you will meet a lot of them. I mean, let's face it, with Mayan, even Mayan, 37, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, it sure is.
Sarah's in trouble.
She says she's not coming back anymore.
You know what? Neither am I.
Time.
Neither am I. I'm done after this. Oh gosh.
Now, what if let's say when I pass over, and I find a community like culinary, since I love food so much, and I spend, I know there's no concept of time, but let's say I spend ages and ages in a community, then all of a sudden I decide, I want to go back, to reincarnate. Is that possible?
Absolutely. You can reincarnate any time. In fact, I'll tell you what, from time to time, the Council of Elders will come up and ask you that question.
Will they?
Yeah, absolutely. My dad, he died in 1995. And it was, I guess it was about... I don't know. I know they ask him different times, but I know when we were chatting with him, I guess it was about in 2005, the elders came up to him again and asked if he wanted to reincarnate, And he told them, not in a million years. And that was that, So I think he's done. But my dad, he did 155 reincarnations, so I think he's done.
Wow.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
As far as ghosts that interact with us, let's say it's a loved one that's passed over, and they come back and visit, and somebody like Sarah Jane that's psychic, and she knows that they've come back to visit, but after they reincarnate, they can't do that, can they? Their soul would obviously be in another body, so they wouldn't be able to come back and visit.
Well, once you
as a spirit.
No, once you're going to be able to do all that kind of stuff on the other side, but when you reincarnate, what you do is you kind of put yourself on hold, because this is what you have to do, and this is all you're going to know until you, pass over again, and then you go back.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Now, can a relative that's passed over, can they reincarnate as one of your children?
I've heard that on TV. I don't really know the total answer to that. I guess I've seen a show where someone, I guess it was the grandfather who died, And then, and then, but she was pregnant, and I'm thinking, boy, he really had to work hard to get, you know, to get that done, you know. I don't know. I mean, they say that it happens, but I don't have any proof on it. I think that it takes an awful long time to actually write a chart and to get a reincarnation. But, you know, I wouldn't put it past anybody to maybe push the issue, you know, because they wanted to.
Now, what about children? Children have a higher success rate at seeing spirits than, you know, adults do?
Yeah, they see them all the time. Yeah, that's... Well, the reason for that is because that they're so new. I mean, they just came from the other side. So they're very, very new to that. So kids up till in their teens, actually, will be experiencing all sorts of things where they see people. I mean, their imaginary friends are not imaginary to them. They are usually their guides, or they'll see dead relatives or something like that. And my son, when he was two, my grandmother and grandfather had passed before he was born, and my aunt, she passed when he was 6 months old, so he didn't know any of them. And I was sitting in the bedroom, and he was sitting on my lap on the bed, and all of a sudden, he just said, "Hi, Nana. Hi, Papa. Hi, Aunt Mary." So I just said, "Hi." I mean, what can you do, you know? I said, "Hi, guys." You know, and he didn't know them, you know.
Right.
But he was old enough to speak and do it clearly, and he sure got it right on, I'll tell you that. But he would always see them, you know.
Hmm. Do you think it's because when they get older, their logical mind kicks in, and, you know, they just say to themselves, well, this, you know, isn't the norm, so they stop seeing more often?
I think more than anything is just that you just get so integrated into the society, the Earth society, you know. I mean, how many times does a kid, you know, they say, oh, you know, you're in your own world. You know, why don't you get into the real world, you know? And, I mean, kids are just pushed out of that, their little world into, you know, I mean, with every responsibility, you know. I mean, third grade, they're holding these kids responsible for everything, you know? And I think with all of the stuff that the teachers do and the parents, and how many times do they say no to your children? I mean, you know, it's that kind of thing.
Loads.
If you could not do that and just let them, you know, evolve, I don't think that these kids would see way beyond that, you know?
Mm-hmm. There's an interesting bit in your book about babies, that if they could talk.
Yeah, you know. Really, really. Well, you know, when an infant is born, I mean, they are brand new from the other side, and they have an awful lot of knowledge. And they said if they could talk, you would have them committed within a year. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
We'd be in shock, I think.
I know. There is one thing that I wanted to say, and it's not about the book.
Okay?
It's something that our guides want me to say. With the Christmas season coming up, you know, they celebrate, by the way, they celebrate Jesus' birthday also on the other side, and it is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But anyway, what they do is they spread all sorts of joy and sunshine down our way, because they know it's tough here, and that everyone, they try to spread as much joy so everybody is happy during the holiday season, at least, you know. But they would like me to remind everybody of all the people who are alone, the people who don't have anybody to celebrate with, or, you know, somebody who has just recently lost a loved one and is depressed. And they would like us to just make sure that we check in on them. You know, if they don't have anybody and you can invite them to your celebration and just make it a wonderful day for them, that is so good. And it would be definitely something that you could tell in your review that you did to help mankind, you know. And but it's just so important to remember the people that don't have anybody and help them out if possible. Do whatever you can, even if it's just to call them up or just to go visit them. You know, don't forget about them, you know, because they need a little joy too.
And there's a lot of them out there. That's very well put.
Yeah, too many of them, but they wanted me to get that across. You know, since I was going to talk to so many people, they just want us to know that we cannot forget about the people who are less fortunate than us.
Right. Good. I'm glad you brought that up. Mm-hmm. Especially, like you said, this time of year.
Yes, this is the time.
And any other things that you want to put in before we have to go? We have to cut it a bit short tonight, but mm-hmm. I know the book is just packed full of things that you can't even really touch base on.
Mm-hmm.
But any other important topics?
Well, we didn't talk about angels and guides, the difference between them, but as far as it goes, our guides would be, you know, the people that we pick to be, you know, they're like kind of our best friends on the other side, and we pick them to follow us through our lives. But the angels, you know, most people think that their angels are, you know, protecting them, but it is their guides that are protecting them. And the angels are really a part of God. And they are there also. They are protectors, and there are a lot of them on the earth all the time protecting people. But it is the idea that the guides, it's the job of the guides to do this. The angels will step in if the guides kind of mess up, you know. But and then there's the elders again, you know, chatting with the elders. But, you know, you're going to get to the point where I guess sometime on the other side the elders walk up and you go, oh, now what, you know. but it's a wonderful, wonderful place to be. And as far as if you consider this heaven, then by all means mm-hmm. it is heaven to you. Because it is so wonderful on the other side, and I think that's what they call themselves. They call the realm the other side rather than heaven, but it is heaven to all of us.
I guess the biggest question that everybody wants to know is, when we pass over and get to the other side, do we get to meet God?
No. No, but we get to meet...
No.
No, but we get to meet Jesus. And he's a good guy. Jesus is on the other side. He's all over the place. He can bilocate to multiple planets all over, because Jesus had started many planets, not just Earth. And he does basically stay more toward Earth, especially at this time of the year, because we all celebrate his birthday. And Jesus, they say that Jesus comes into all our homes every time. Everybody who celebrates Christmas, he will be there at one point, you know, in time. And when you do Passover, Jesus actually, mm-hmm. it's eventually, they'll say, okay, it's not, he doesn't meet you when you first pass over, but he actually comes to every single person that passes over and welcomes them to the other side.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And but as far as God goes, God is more of the essence of energy. You know, he truly mm-hmm. is. And all you have to do is open your eyes and look around, look up, and everything you have and all the people, look in every, we are all part of God. We are all
right.
One thing that is called God. We are, and so that is a kind of a misconception there, but I will tell you something. Jesus is a great, he's a wonderful, wonderful person, and he is the one that you will see on the other side.
Well, that's very encouraging, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I can wait, because I'm not ready to go, but, you know, I think it'll be, you know, so cool to meet him.
Yeah, it will be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sue, we've got to wrap this up for tonight, but we definitely want to have you back on so we can continue this and touch more on some of the subjects in the book and go a little more in depth with it. But I just want to tell the listeners again, you can get Susan's book, Things to Do on the Other Side, at her website, which is www.thingstodoontheotherside.com. And your first book, Answers from Heaven, is that correct?
It is.
Also with the same website, www.answersfromheaven.com.
And I want to give my email address, because if anyone has questions, okay. I would love to answer your questions. It's Susie, I'm going to say it and then spell it. It's SusieSlates@yahoo.com. That's SusieSlates@yahoo.com. Just email me. I'd love to hear from you.
Okay, and yeah, like you said, if people have more questions, Sue would be more than happy to answer them for you. And definitely check out her website. And thanks so much for being on the show with us.
Well, thank you, Gil. Thanks for letting me come. I would
love. Yeah, we'll definitely have you back really soon.
Oh, I'm ready. Anytime.
Good. It's been very enlightening. And like I said, everybody have a happy holiday. And like Sue said, if there's, you know, people less fortunate, please try and reach out and at least let them know that you're there and that you care and that they're not alone.
Everybody needs somebody.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And to let everybody know that everybody has somebody else that does care about them. But again, Sue, thank you very much.
Well, thank you, and happy holidays to everybody.
Thanks, and to you and to all our listeners. We'll be back this coming Friday night. Our guest is an interesting guest. He's actually a guru from India, and he'll be on air with us, and he'll be talking about how to appease ghosts and how to get along better with ghosts and overcome your fear with ghosts. And he has some very interesting views on the subject, and especially from halfway across the world. It should be a very interesting show. But we better wrap this up, and thanks for listening. Sue, thank you very much again.
You're
and
so welcome.
We will talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye, Sue. Thanks. Mm-hmm. And everybody else, we'll see you Friday night. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is James Riley from Ballistic Etna, and you are listening to the best in everything paranormal on Soul Seekers Supernatural Radio.
Broadcasting live from London every Friday from 9 to 11 p.m., 4 to 6 Eastern, the Soul Seekers bring you the latest topics and most influential guests in the paranormal world right here on Para-X Radio.
Check out our website at soulseekers.org.uk.